Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Reading from the song, Lord, I'm Coming Home. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open now thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. As I read this song, I think of the prodigal son going to the far country and coming home. When I think of the last stanza, I think of the publican. My soul is sick. My heart is sore. Lord, I'm coming home. As he prayed, God be merciful to me, smiting on his breast. Reading from Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Let's give thanks for these words, give thanks for what's described there, and pray that it will be given to us, applied to us by the Spirit, as well as having it before us in the Word. Our Father, we come to Thee giving thanks for this great salvation, for this blessing described here, describing it for Abraham and how he received it by faith, how he had hope, but as we can read, it was not for him only, but for us also. And we give thanks it is written, and that we have this written word from Thee, from heaven above, and that it will be imputed to us if we believe on Thee, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Father, as we think of that at this time of the year, the death and resurrection of Christ, we pray that we might know that he was made a curse for us, and that we might know also, as Paul could say, the blessing of the power of his resurrection, that we might know it in repentance and humility in dying, and knowing that the wages of sin is death and we deserve it, and that we in that way die, as Paul could say, and I died, no hope in self, and then that we might have that blessed hope in Christ, the resurrected one, and as we read here, raised for our justification. Help us to see that blessing of justification, just as if we had never sinned, all because it all paid for by Christ. And help us to know, Father, it is the only way, and the way of that we can have by faith in Thee, giving Christ, by faith in Him, dying for our sin, and rising again for our justification, as we read. We pray, Father, for these blessings first of all, that we might be made to seek Thy kingdom first, with the promise that all these things will be added. And we pray also, Father, for the things that need to be added, the many that are in hunger, homeless, war-torn lands, and persecuted, the different calamities that are there in nature, the sickness that is there. Help us to overcome it. Give us, Father, faith to believe in Thee, looking to Thee, even in the midst of these trials and tribulations. We pray also, Father, for the needs in the homes, the broken homes, the children in those homes, that the church will teach rightly concerning what Thou hast given, what Thou hast joined together, let not man put asunder. Help us to know that, Father, and above that great sin that we have in murdering the unborn, that we might come to recognize the terribleness of it against Thee and against one another, against the unborn. Other sins as well, Father, too numerous to mention. We pray that Thou make us to see them and mourn over them and repent rightly through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. Looking at these words of Paul to the church there at Rome, using both Abraham and David as examples, particularly in the first part of this chapter, what shall we say that Abram, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Yes, he found it by faith. God gave it to him. God came to him, and it was unfolded to him, and David also. After he sinned, God sent Nathan to him. He could say, both then and other times as well, he describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, totally without anything we have done, nothing we've done. Even repentance and faith is a gift of God. After Peter had gone to Cornelius and he came back, the conclusion was, then hath God granted unto the Gentiles also repentance unto life. As we can read in Acts chapter 11, it was not only a repentance, but unto life, unto Christ, all given. God imputes it by teaching us from his word, by his spirit, and then bringing us to himself in repentance, to Christ in faith. That is summed up here, as we read in the 16th verse of this 4th chapter of Romans. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all. All of the seed, both of that which is natural seed of Abraham, but also those who are children of Abraham, as Paul writes to the Galatians, if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Those are here really spoken of, the believing ones from the bloodline, and the believing ones from the Gentiles. In that way, the last part of that verse states, who is Father of us all. He comes back to this blessed way of faith. Therefore, it is of faith. If we go back to the 3rd chapter, we see where that began to come into focus. Verse 21 of Romans chapter 3, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And though faith is mentioned earlier in the 1st chapter, the first part of it in Paul's introduction, also, it's included in the words that Paul stated in the 16th verse of that 1st chapter. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Oh, how we could hope and pray that that will again take effect in our nation and other nations, that we will have this faith as Paul did. Everyone that believeth, it is the power of God unto salvation. And not only to salvation itself and justification, but it is the power of God in every aspect, sanctification, and will be throughout eternity and glorification. But coming back here to this 4th chapter, we read in the 17th verse, as it is written. Moses wrote about this, and as Christ said when he was here on earth, if you believe Moses, you would believe in me, for he wrote of me. And he wrote many things of many people that believed, but above all of the gospel of himself, of Christ. I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. I think of the words that Christ spoke to Nicodemus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We might say it's a well-known verse, probably one of the most well-known ones of the New Testament. But is it really well-known? Do we really know and are thankful for that love of God? Do we really understand what is written? Even as we read here, as it is written. John wrote what Christ said to Nicodemus, and what he said to Nicodemus is true for the world. God so loved the world. There's sometimes even argument over that. What does he mean by the world? Christ said those words in the beginning of his ministry. Toward the end of his ministry, he said to preach the gospel to every creature. Everyone is to be told about God's love to the world, about his Son. preach the gospel to every creature. We're far from doing it. I've talked to people already that never heard of it, didn't know about the Bible, even in this country, where it should be well known. It doesn't get finished as it should be to every creature. There's some that hear it, but many that do not hear it in the right and needed way. Christ also said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It's to be done abroad, it's to be done in every nation, it's to begin at home. Everywhere, that message is to be made known. When Paul spoke to the Athenians, he said, God commands all men everywhere to repent. And that is what Christ began his own ministry with. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when we can preach that rightly, then we can, along with it, say that those who repent, agree with God, are humbled, are turned. The way of the gospel then is open to those in need, who know their need. And that is here. It is by faith that it might be by grace to the end, that the promise might be sure to all the seed, all that will hear, but also all who are called by God. As we read in Romans chapter 8, a little further into this letter, as many as he predestined, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. There is there an unbreakable chain from God's plans to the end of eternity. Here we think of it by faith. I think of the time of the Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards. He realized that though there were young people and others as well coming into the church, that it was mostly by works. It was called at that time Arminianism. There are different ways of Arminianism. We could say all of them are the works of man against the grace of God, or salvation by faith in God's way alone. But at that time, it was more Arminianism that tended toward recognizing works. If the young people were obedient, and they lived outwardly good lives, and they agreed with the doctrine of the church, they could be welcomed into the church. And that was being done. Edwards recognized it as a way with an emphasis on works, rather than on faith alone. And he preached 5 sermons, particularly on salvation by faith, over against what was called Arminianism, or against the way of works. Those brought into the church mainly wanted to live a better life. They became part of the church. Mr. Stoddard and others thought this was right, but Edwards saw that it was more works than faith. He preached against it, even though he was warned not to do so. But one pastor who heard the message of Edwards and also was brought to repentance, and he had brought in many young people in his church, and he began to see that they really didn't know the heart of salvation, the way of faith and justification, that they were brought in by become better young people and be part of the church. And this is what he made the statement of himself. He said, I was more in love with my own works than with Christ. And that can easily take place. It happened with most of the Jews. We read in a further chapter here in this letter, they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness, Christ being the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And Paul certainly has this in mind as well. Again, going back to the 3rd chapter, in the 20th verse, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Not a one, no flesh, by the works of the law. The way is open. Christ said so to the young rich young ruler, as we call him. This do, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. But he didn't do it. He went away sorrowful. He did not want to do what Christ told him, only one thing. And so Paul rightly states that here. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And then giving what the law has to teach us. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. If we know the law rightly, then we'll know our sin. If we don't know the law as we should, we sometimes bring it down to our level, even like we bring God down. As we read in Psalm 50, "Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself." And often we do the same thing with the law. Christ describes it as washing the outside of the cup, but not getting to the heart, not knowing the sins of the heart, as they're described by Christ, recorded in Matthew 15, 7 different sins that come out of the heart. Mark records 13 different sins that come out of the heart. We've read them in past messages, and we are guilty in all of them. Heart sins as well as outward sins, both. In that way, we're not submitting to the law, which is not only a law of obedience, a law of thou shalt not, but above all, the law of thou shalt love. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And as Christ describes it, this is the first and great commandment. It's great because it's there, and it would be great if it was done. But it's not being done, sadly. We all come short of the glory of God. And also Christ gives the second commandment like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so Paul can rightly say here in the plural, therefore by the deeds, the many things done, both toward God and toward our neighbor, will not justify anyone. Actually, it's that bad, that short, that God also can say, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. As Paul said earlier in the 10th verse of this third chapter, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, and even further than that, none that seeketh God. I'm afraid there's some that will say, yes, that's true, that I'm guilty by the law, but not by the gospel. I've sought the Lord. I found the Lord. It says here, there's none that seeketh after God. We may seek the gospel in a certain way, in the way of the historic faith, in the way of a temporary faith, as it's sometimes called, in the way of what is also called miraculous faith. And we can see there were some that way in the ministry of Christ. When we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, that Jesus did many miracles, it says, when they saw the miracles which he did, many believed in his name. John chapter 2, verse 23. And then we read in the 24th verse, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. A miraculous faith can believe certain things, but leave many things not believed in rightly, especially how sinful we are, how holy God is, and how great a need there is of Christ as mediator. All of that is part of what we need to repent of. We need to agree with what we saw in Romans chapter 3, step by step, Paul mentioning those sins, before we have this clearly with Paul when he says, therefore it is of faith. Or as he says in the 5th chapter, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can say that it is not only faith, but it is faith only, faith in God, not in ourself. Faith in God, faith in Christ, faith in the Spirit, the three together. Christ paid the price. God is the one that planned it, gave his Son, chooses us, even before the foundation of the world. And the Holy Spirit is the one that does the applying, the convicting, the leading into all truth, making the word come with power and not in word only. All of that is from God. So it is faith in him entirely, alone. And that's what we must see. Going on here, once again, it is for many nations. It is for all the world. And how short we come of that, and how dangerous it is that we compromise so much today. There's so much, even in this area, of called interfaith. In this city, people meet together, interfaith, with some of the religions of other countries, the religions of India, China, Buddha, Hinduism, Islam. You must believe in Jesus Christ. You must believe in Him as the Son of God, or you cannot be made right with the only true God, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Lawgiver. All of that is from God the Father and through God the Son. Yes, that is true, and you must come to believe it. Thankfully, there are some who do come to believe it, but few. It makes no difference if we believe in one direction that's wrong or another. Paul asked the question in the 3rd chapter, are we better than they? And he says, in no wise we have together become unprofitable. All of us, no matter what place we come from, it is the way that is together, short of the glory of God. All have sinned. We read in the 23rd verse of chapter 3. And all of us together must have this here. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. God has His people from every nation. And that's what He says. In the end, it will be that way in Revelation, that host that no man can number from all nations, all tribes, all of them, everywhere. God plans to call them out, and He does, and He will. Sometimes we take it by color, red and white, yellow, black, all together they are precious in His sight. And we can describe nations in that way, but we can describe them also by the nationality of different nations, who and what nations they were part of. Some of them still are there. Some of them have gone to other nations, as in our country. And here, Abram is a father of many nations. He's the father of many in our country, from the countries of England and Europe in the past. And all of us together have been brought to that one place, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul describes it. He preached it, and he was faithful to it. Here is part of his message to that church at Rome and to us, as we can read twice. Verse 17, as it is written, that's for every creature. And then going further into the chapter, verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but it's for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. There are many things that we must believe about God and about Christ, even thinking of the names of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. God the Father, creator with Christ, but especially this one area, believe on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Yes, he gave Christ, he forsook him on the cross, and he raised him again for our justification. Do you believe that? In need, and in blessing, and in thankfulness?
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.